Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 633rd edition of the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you an American perspective of our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. Get your daily reading from me and other writers over at Beyond the 90 at beyondthe90.substack.com and locally on the New York Red Bulls and the other New York City soccer teams over at ajmsportsfc.com with Anthony Merced. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem now. And usually I wouldn't be like this if, of course, said player was still acting like a petulant child. But the truth is he did really do a better job of performing for the national team in Sergiño Dest. And as we all heard and saw, Sergiño Dest is out with a knee injury. And it sounds like his Copa America summer is definitely in jeopardy. So hopefully maybe we'll get some better news down the line somewhere. But hopefully for him, maybe he can come back. Of course, we heard about this that happened in his last match last weekend. I hope it's not too bad. But once again, you know, right now there'll be a big hole for Greg Berhalter in one of the fullback positions for this upcoming Copa America this summer. I thought he acquitted himself well in the Nations League final against Mexico, Sergiño Dest. I thought he improved himself, but unfortunately, with the injury that it happened, it's just not good. So hopefully I'm wrong and that he'll be able to come back and be out there and ready to go. But until then, as of right now, we're just going to have to consider him being out for the Copa America this summer. Hope not. Maybe there's a slim chance, but once again, hopefully it can be fixed. But let me just say this as we get ready for a great week of games here, not just what we saw last week with the Open Cup, but of course what's coming up this Wednesday and the Columbus Crew taking on Monterrey in the CONCACAF Champions Cup semifinals, and that first leg will be at Lower.com Field in Columbus, Ohio. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. But once again, Monterrey will be a very, very difficult opponent because they're going to be very well prepared for this. It's not just a preparation. Monterrey, you know, a better side, but not taking anything away from what Wilfred Nancy has done in this run, because right now, this is probably one of the biggest tasks that's going to be in front of them, and that is beating this well-oiled machine in Monterrey. Without a doubt, Monterrey is going to be scary good. Scary, scary good. And it's just really, really going to be a match where Columbus really has got to be on their toes, and they cannot allow a single goal past them. Cannot. They must, and I stress this, they must really make sure that they're going to be playing a lot of defense in this one and preventing Monterrey from scoring a single away goal. Because for the Crew to at least have a puncher's chance down at the Estadio BBVA, they must, I repeat, they must find a way to go out there and prevent them from scoring, be on their toes, and Schulte's going to have a lights-out performance at home. But it's not just a lights out performance at home. It's also a lights out performance on the road. Until we get to that game in midweek, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. But once again, Wilfred Nancy is really going to have to play and strategize close to the vest on this one. He's going to have to. Because if he does not, they will not survive going down to Mexico, down to Estadio BBVA. They will not survive that second leg if they do not take care of business at home. Score as many goals as possible. And then if they can try and prevent a goal being scored on, head on down to Mexico, get an away goal, and save and basically take the tie. Period. This is what they have to do. This is what they must do. They must find a way to make sure they go out and they do the job they've got to do. Period. So hopefully this coming Wednesday night, Fox Sports 1, 8:15 p.m. Eastern, Columbus Crew hosting Monterrey, CONCACAF Champions League, semifinals, first leg. Should be exciting and should be fun. Now, last week was the third round of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. And unfortunately, I'm sad. I was very sad. Even though great games we were watching, fantastic games we were seeing, I was sad. Very, very sad. Because, number one, all those MLS teams that are supposed to be in the Open Cup were not. And those were the teams that were supposed to start in the third round. They never showed up because Don Garber and Nelson Rodriguez told them, no, you're not going to go. Because we're going to make a point, and we're going to prove a point, that apparently U.S. soccer doesn't know what they're doing, and that we are U.S. soccer. We run the federation, not the federation runs the sport. They do. And that's wrong. Absolutely wrong. They do not run the sport. I couldn't see, you know, Emil Forsberg or Lewis Morgan or Dante Van Zier for the Red Bulls perform in the third round. Or Mr. Pantsil for the Galaxy. Or Mr. Benteke for DC United. No, we're not allowed to. Well, it's unfortunate. It's sad. And this is where, normally I don't do this, but, you know, when it comes to Leagues Cup this year, and I normally I don't want to say it, and I really don't. It's up to you if you want to go or not. But for those that don't want to go, you're doing the right thing. For those that do want to go, it's up to you. It's your money. You choose what you want to do. But Leagues Cup is the biggest farce in American soccer history. It should not be happening, but it is. This should have been a nothing competition, but MLS forced it down everyone's throats, including CONCACAF's. And this, my friends, is why we are having this conundrum. This, my friends, is why we have a problem. I wish Don Garber would understand this. I wish Major League Soccer would understand this. They don't. Because the Open Cup is more pure competition. Now, let me just stress this for everyone. Okay? I want everyone to understand something here. And I know some of you are still pointing your fingers at, well, look at the attendance. How come everyone is at... How come everyone is saying, you know, you want the Open Cup, but you're not selling out the stadiums in midweek? I said, well, look, not everyone's able to go midweek. That's the truth. And secondly, and more importantly, the sport is still growing in this country. Sure, you'll still have people migrating to the European leagues. You'll still have people migrating mostly to the four major sports in North America: baseball, basketball, football, hockey. The national team is growing. Our leagues are growing. But this cup competition is now slowly growing, and that's a good thing. And isn't it funny how all of a sudden MLS comes out of nowhere, sabotages U.S. soccer's ability to at least attempt to market the Open Cup into what it should be, and then have it on CBS Sports for multiple years. And then MLS does what they do. So I don't understand all this negativity toward the Open Cup. I mean, you watch the FA Cup. Everyone gravitates to it. I watch the FA Cup. I even watched this year's DFB Pokal with Saarbrücken almost creating history, almost going into the final. But unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be. But they gave great entertainment and a great run. And unfortunately, it came to a very poor end. But once again, as we get ready, you know, for the next couple of rounds of the Open Cup, and hopefully next, you know, we'll have those eight MLS teams ready in the fourth round, and they better be ready. For those of you arguing about why we don't have promotional relegation here and why England and everywhere else has promotional relegation, why it works there, you know, look at what they're doing now with the Premier League and the FA Cup in England. Apparently, the Premier League watches what MLS does. See, this is what some of you don't want to pay attention to. These other leagues are watching what MLS does. And if MLS says we want out of the Open Cup, the Premier League will be like, well, we're not going to be out of the Open Cup. But with the new ways of keeping ourselves as the higher authority in the pyramid of English soccer, English football, we will eliminate the replays. Now, the replays are for the benefit of the lower leagues. Now, I'm not saying bring replays here for the Open Cup, but for as long as they can remember, the replays were part of it. If there was a draw at a certain ground, the gate for the next game would help those lower level clubs coming in to a replay situation. So all I can say is this, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that were saying, let's have replays, or let's just say for the heck of it, you know, replays shouldn't really matter anymore. How do you know? It works in their economy when it comes to the FA Cup. I'm not saying bring in replays after draws here in the U.S. Our calendar can't handle that right now. But until then, you know, the FA Cup is just as important to the English as the U.S. Open Cup is to us here in the United States for all levels. And as we get ready for tonight's show, my guest tonight, he is the president of the U.S. Adult Soccer Association. This man oversees every single amateur league under his watch. And it's impressive. They're celebrating 100 years of amateur soccer, the president of the U.S. Adult Soccer Association, Mr. John Paul Mata, is my guest tonight. John, good evening, and how are you?
Good evening. I am doing fantastic.
John, you know, I'm very glad you've joined me tonight. It's really amazing. Over 100 years of the amateur game here in this country, for as long as we can remember, trying to keep alive the professional game, but we must never, ever forget those amateur teams that have made a name for themselves in this country, no matter what part of the country they have been in.
Yeah, absolutely. And amateur soccer is actually well over 100 years old. The 100 years we're celebrating this year is the 100th anniversary of the U.S. Amateur Cup.
That's amazing. And this Amateur Cup, of course, is very, very, very important, of course, to all these amateur teams from all the four different regions of the country. Mesoamerica won it last year. And how happy were you when finally this champion of the Amateur Cup finally gets an automatic bid into the Open Cup?
Well, I mean, it was something I've worked on for quite a few years, and I think this is probably the fourth, fifth year we've got our Amateur Cup as a direct entry into the first round of the Open Cup. So this wasn't our first year. We've had it happen probably, you know, the last 4 or 5 years. But it's a great carrot for the teams to enter our Amateur Cup. And, you know, the big prize at the end of the tournament, if they're the finalists and they win, is to get that direct entry into the Open Cup. That way they do not need to qualify in all those open rounds during the fall. So it's a great achievement to automatically get that first round bid in.
Absolutely. It really is. And I'm very happy to hear that. You know, John, as you've already said, it's 100 years of your championship tournament, and so many great names have been fighting for that title for as long as we can remember. Of course, the Milwaukee, the Bavarians, in the Milwaukee area, of course, in New York, we have the Greek Americans, the Pan-Cypriot Freedoms. We also have United German Hungarians in Pennsylvania. We have so many clubs across the country. What's it like every time you get ready for this tournament towards the end of the spring season that makes you feel with pride that this cup competition is taken seriously by every single amateur side in this country?
Yeah, I mean, it's as you said, it's been around for 100 years, and you know, every amateur team out there, you know, as we all believe, the best out there. This tournament, you know, starts actually at the state level. So at the state level, they determine a state, you know, qualifying event to get a team into the regional event. The regional events are held differently in the country. Region 1, which is the Northeast, Region 3, which is the South, they kind of do the same type of tournament. They hold a weekend tournament to determine who goes to the Final Four. Region 2 and Region 4, they do knockout games throughout the spring season to where they will get down to their final champion and send them to the Final Four. So, you know, each region has their own unique way of determining their winner. But again, as you said, you know, it's the envy of every amateur team is to make it, you know, out of their state into the regional rounds and then hopefully be the champion and get to the Final Four.
Absolutely. And that's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait till we get to that level in the spring season, of course. And it should be a lot of fun seeing the top four, the region champions of each section of our country get there to the final. It should be a heck of a tournament. when we get to that championship final. You know, John, it must be at times challenging for you to have all these amateur leagues under your perusal to not just manage and govern, but to make sure that, you know, everything's done the right way. Has it been at times, you know, exhausting to make sure that you talk to your regional presidents to make sure that everything goes as planned? At the same time, all these state soccer associations, some of them under, you know, two state soccer associations, if it's a north-south or an east-west type of situation, like Pennsylvania, New York, and Texas, and California. What does that entail for you to manage these state soccer associations and all these leagues?
Well, it's not as difficult as you think it would be. You know, as any leader of any organization, you need to surround yourself with great people to do the work so that, you know, everything falls into place. So in U.S. adult soccer, first of all, we do have a staff of great people in Chicago that, you know, run the day-to-day operation, get the calls from the people, answers the questions. So all that is deflected off of me, and it goes to them who are full-time employees of USASA. But then again, you know, I appoint a national chairperson who is Richard Groff. Everybody around the country knows Richard. He is our National Cups chairman, and he basically runs the Cups. So everything funnels through him. Richard also has four regional commissioners that work along with him that run their regional Cups. And each region also has their regional director that assists the commissioner. So with that type of a team, easy to run the day-to-day operations of USASA. No one is truly burdened with all the questions, with all the responsibilities. We do have a great team in place, and everybody's responsible for something, so that, you know, all the responsibilities are equally shared by everyone, and it runs pretty smoothly under that scenario.
That's fantastic. I'm very glad to hear that. That's what I like to hear, a well-run and a well-oiled machine, because, you know, I'll admit, it probably would tire me out maybe after 2 weeks at the job if I was running the whole thing, situation. You go ahead and you do what you got to do, because I think I would be, I think I would just be tired out after 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you got to remember, well, you know, other than our staff in Chicago, we are still all volunteers. We all do this for the love of the game. No one gets paid other than our staff in Chicago. So with all the responsibilities that go with these, you know, these tournaments and running these state associations and running these leagues, we are still pretty much a volunteer organization, which, yeah, as we all know, in today's world, it's becoming very difficult to get volunteers to fill all these positions.
No, absolutely, and I understand. But still, though, this is a great thing that's been going on for a long time, and it's great to hear. How long have you been the president of the U.S. Adult Soccer Association?
This is my 10th year and my final year.
Oh, John.
Well, when it's I ran 2 years ago, I did make a commitment to the U.S. Adult Body Council that this would be my last term, and I'm a man of my word, and I am not going to run for re-election. But I did win in February the position, which is the U.S. Soccer's Adult Council Chairman. So I will still wear that hat for the next 2 years up until the World Cup in 2026, where, you know, all adult organizations fall under my purview, under the Adult Council. So that would include U.S. Adult Soccer, the UPSL, USSSA, They are all direct members of the Adult Council. So I will be chairing that for the next 2 years. And my goal for the next 2 years is working with those three organizations and others, including U.S. Soccer, to see how can we really grow the amateur game, come up with a lot better competitions that we can all be involved in, all the adult members of U.S. Soccer, and just to make adult soccer in the United States as attractive as possible. As we well know, there are probably, 5 million unaffiliated adult soccer leagues in the United States, adult soccer players in the United States playing soccer. How do we get, those 5 million players that are playing soccer, not affiliated with U.S. Soccer, to be part of the U.S. Soccer family? So that's going to be my goal in the next 2 years, is to work with U.S. Soccer, work with all those groups under the Adult Council to see how can we grow the adult soccer, even more so in the United States.
And that's great to hear. I'm very happy to hear that you're still championing the belief in the game here in the United States. It's just wonderful to hear. And this will be your only interview on a show to talk about the game as president of the league and of the U.S. Adult Soccer Association. I'm really honored for that to be your only, interviewee when it comes to this. But, it's just wonderful to hear that you've had 10 glorious years running this department of U.S. soccer. Very needed as well, because the truth is, this is the beginning of the grassroots in some ways, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is, the other thing that we need to do is, work, which something we haven't done, and shame on us for not doing it, is working with the youth programs of U.S. adult soccer, U.S. youth, U.S. club, and finding a way to transition all those youth players, once they turn 18, 19, into the adult game. Right now, they end their youth career, and they either go to college or, they're kind of in la-la land. There's really no direction for them. So we also need to work more closely with the youth groups to find an easy transition of getting all these youth players directly into the adult space, very easily, so that, they don't have to go around looking or searching or whatever they need to do, that the transition from youth to adults we need to make it a seamless, transition.
Absolutely. My question to you is this, if you don't mind. Would there be a time somewhere down the road you may, or USASA can have a conversation with the NCAA and maybe have a partnership of some sort, or is that two separate situations?
As we all know, the NCAA are really set in their ways. The one really low-hanging fruit that USASA could have, and we currently do have a affiliation with the college club soccer in the West, in the Southwest. That group is a member of ours. I think if we can, have some type of a relationship with the entire U.S. college club soccer, I think that is an easier way of tapping into the college system than trying to tap into the NCAA.
No, I would agree with that. I think that would be much better, and hopefully that can come to fruition in the future, and hopefully it can. So for us right now, just to give us the timeline at this current point, are we currently in the regional tournaments before we get to the Final Four for the Amateur Cup Championship?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. All four regions right now are in the midst of their regional competition. As I said, Region 2 are having knockout games probably every weekend, same as Region 4. Region 2 also has a knockout system to get to a smaller number for their regional tournament. Their regional tournament is always on Father's Day. The Region 3 tournament will be the weekend before Region 1, so whatever that weekend is, I don't have the date in front of me. So the two middle weekends in June will be the Region 3 and Region 1 tournaments, and Region 2 and 4 right now are just battling it out week after week to get to their champions to go to the Final Four. And the Final Four will be held, the national 100th year anniversary celebration championship games are going to be held the weekend of July 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th in DeKalb, Illinois. The DeKalb County United, which is a local soccer club in DeKalb, are co-hosting it with us. They're helping us out. And that will be the weekend it will be held. Now, the first National Amateur Cup was played in Chicago in 1924. So we felt that, you know, since that's where it began, the most fitting place to hold the 100th anniversary would be back in Chicago, where it all began. So that is the reason why we are going to go to Chicago. We will have the men and the women's semifinals probably on Friday night, and then the finals on Sunday. As we all know, the men's champion does get the first round bid into the Lamar Hunt Open Cup. So that's going to be a very exciting weekend for all that like soccer in amateur soccer. Again, it's in Illinois. We're going to have fan zones set up. We're also going to have celebrities there. So we want to really make this a really super event for U.S. adult soccer to really showcase amateur soccer in the United States and, you know, showcase our 100th anniversary.
Absolutely. John, before I let you go, for those of the people who are probably listening to you right now, if you'd like to, you know, say any final words, of course, obviously your current term's not over yet until, of course, we get to the last day. But if you'd like to say something to the people that are listening to you right now who follow a club in the amateur levels, whatever region they're in, if you'd like to say any final words about what you've done for the sport in the amateur level, please let us know what you're doing.
You know, it was funny because we had a board meeting this past weekend in Chicago, and, you know, my board members were asking me, John, you've been involved with this, you know, for so long. What are you going to do, you know, in September when your term is over? And, you know, again, like I said earlier, my term may be over, but I'm still going to chair the Adult Council of U.S. Soccer, which oversees all amateur soccer. So I may be gone as president of U.S. adult soccer, but I'm still going to be heavily involved with the federation in growing adult soccer in this country. And, you know, the last 10 years have been fantastic. I mean, U.S. adult soccer is like family. Great people, very, very passionate people, involved in the game for many, many, many years. So it's going to be a hard to leave them. But, you know, I was with my board this past weekend. We have a whole new generation of young people coming in that's on the board, very passionate people, loving the game. So I really see that, you know, I'll be gone, but the board's in really good shape, great people. And, again, sometimes you better move over to – bring in new people with fresh ideas. 10 years is a very long time to lead any organization. So I felt I've done what I can. We've kept U.S. adult soccer healthy. But now it's, you know, time to move on and let some other people come in and give the opportunity for others to lead. And like I said, we've got great people. My vice president, Fritz Mott, who actually the amateur cup that we're vying for the 100th year is named after his dad, Fritz Mott. It's the Fritz Mott Cup. So his son is is going to be running for president. It will probably be the new president. Very passionate guy. Again, he's been involved with the game all his entire life, as I have. So, you know, it's been a great experience, but I think the future is bright for U.S. adult soccer. And I think working with U.S. Soccer Federation, I think the future is even going to be brighter with adult amateur soccer coming in the next few years.
Absolutely. John, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. And before I say thank you for joining me, J.J. Pavlik wants to say hello.
Sure.
So,
is he on?
But once no, he's not on, unfortunately. But he told me to tell you he said hi.
I saw the message. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Good. I just want to make sure I give them – I just want to make sure I pass the message along. That's all. No, J.J.
Sure.
is a great guy. Just wanted to make sure I passed that along. So, but anyway, thank
Absolutely.
You very much for your time. I really appreciate it that you came on, and very happy to help you celebrate 100 years of the U.S. Adult Amateur Cup that's going to be played in Illinois in the Chicago DeKalb area. It's going to be very exciting. I can't wait. But, again, thank you for your service for 10 years as president of U.S. Adult Soccer. Hope you do well on the council, and thank you again for joining me tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
You're welcome. President of the U.S. Adult Soccer Association, Mr. John Paul Mata, joining me here on the 40 Seems Fire American Soccer Show. And now it's time to talk about the New York Red Bulls and their road match against LAFC, which ended in the 2-2 draw. I thought the Red Bulls were going to steal 3 points, and I thought that they were spot on, and unfortunately certain circumstances went against them. And when you had that moment with Dante Van Zier getting that great pass from Lewis Morgan, I thought I was going to score the goal, but Aaron Long comes out of nowhere, slide tackles the ball away. But unfortunately for the former Red Bull center back, Long injures his left. I think it was either his left or his right knee. I don't remember which one. It hit the post hard, but yeah, he couldn't walk back straight, and so we'll see what happens when news comes of that. But that's after the fact to get a corner out of it, and the substitute for Aaron Long heads the ball into his own net to give the Red Bulls the 1-0 lead. That looked pretty good. But then, of course, controversy comes in, and that was the penalty call against Sean Mulis, where, you know, we've had on Guido Gonzalez Jr., the referee, when they were having their lockout on the show. And you know, I give Guido a lot of respect and, you know, the type of job he's got to do and everything involving being a referee and everything. And, of course, you know, going to VAR. You know, I have to say that to me, that's not a penalty. And I'll tell you why it's not a penalty. And this is where I'm going to respectfully disagree with Guido Gonzalez Jr., who is the match referee. Because Sean Mulis got the ball and poked it away from Bawanga. So anything after that should have been left alone. And both players tangled their legs up. In fact, as Bawanga probably took down Sean Mulis first. And then Guido Gonzalez calls it a penalty. Went to VAR, and yes, they finally have the announcement through the microphone in the stadium on VAR decisions. Excellent job. But unfortunately, the penalty remained. And then later on in the second half, corner kick came in, deflected off of Mulis. All right, to Emil Forsberg, wide open, smashed it. Now into the back of the net for making it 2-2. And if Elise Manuel had that shot a little bit more lower, it would not have hit the crossbar and the Red Bulls would have stolen 3 points. But instead they share the points. And I understand what some of you are saying, that should have been a win. And yeah, it should have been a win. I'm not saying that it should not have been. It should have been a win. But when you go in a place like BMO Stadium, formerly Bank of California Stadium, getting any type of points in there is good enough for me. I thought that it was a very good play. I thought it was a very good performance, but they got victimized by a poor call on the penalty and a poor deflection off of Ayla. So all I can say is that it's just a poor luck going against the Red Bulls. Because that should have been a win. But you know what, though? They never backed down. They kept fighting. Because normally, if this would have been last year or the year before, it would have been the same old stuff. This year, different. Sandro Schwarz has been excellent. Sandro Schwarz has been strong. And all I can say is that at this point in time, it was an excellent performance because it never gave up. Never gave up. So that's all I can say about that. But let me also give out a negative on this match. And it's not on the pitch. It's in the broadcast booth. You know, Max Brados, who I love and respect as a broadcaster. Unfortunately, I will respectfully pick on him in a negative way. And Max, trust me, I still like you. I still respect you. But you acted like a Los Angeles FC homer with Martin Trujillo. I know you're going to say, look, I'm trying to give atmosphere. I'm trying to give passion to the game and everything. And I know you do. Without a question of a doubt, you always do. But let's be fair here, because when LAFC was born, you were hired originally as their play-by-play announcer when they were paying a local regional broadcaster, sports broadcaster in Bally Sports SoCal. You've had 9 to 12 other analysts here and there, whether it was at home or on the road in a studio, okay? You are now with Apple TV. You are under the league's perusal. You are expected to be fair and down the line. I'm sorry, I don't want to go there, but I will. You became a homer again. You know, I expect a lot from you. And Rebel fans also noticed that you were being a homer. I'm sorry. I don't want to go there, but you put me in that position. At least with Steve Cangelosi, and it's nice to hear his voice whenever he calls a Rebel game, has been fair and down the middle every time a Red Bull match has been played. He has been even Steven for both sides. Regardless if it is the Red Bulls as the home or the visiting team, he has not been a homer for them. So I'm sorry to say it. I don't want to say it, but sadly, he put me in that position, and I am not happy about it. I want to thank my guest tonight, Mr. John Paul Mata, the president of the U.S. Adult Soccer Association. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Join me later this week for some more soccer talk. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Take care. So long, and have a good night. Bye-bye for now, folks. Have a good night, everybody.